From Heaven with Love. Chapter 38. Christ and the Twelve Take a Vacation. On returning from their missionary tour, the apostles returned to Jesus, and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place, and rest a while." RSV. The disciples' intimate relationship with Jesus encouraged them to lay before him their favorable and unfavorable experiences as evangelists. As they frankly told Christ of their experiences, he saw that they needed much instruction. He saw, too, that they needed rest. But where they then were, they could not obtain privacy, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The people were thronging after Christ, anxious to be healed and eager to listen to his words. He seemed to many to be the fountain of all blessings. But now Christ longed for retirement, for he had much to say to his disciples. In their work at times they had been much troubled to know what to do. They needed now to go to a place of retirement where they could hold communion with Jesus and receive instruction for future work. They had been putting their whole souls into labor for the people, and this was exhausting their physical and mental strength. It was their duty to rest. As the disciples had seen the success of their labors, they were in danger of taking credit to themselves, of cherishing spiritual pride, and falling under Satan's temptations. They must learn that their strength was not in self, but in God. They needed to commune with Christ, with nature, and with their own hearts. It was about this time that Jesus received tidings of the Baptist's death. This brought vividly before him the end to which his own steps were tending. Priests and rabbis were watching, spies hung upon his steps, and plots for his ruin were multiplying. News reached Herod of Jesus and his work. "This is John the Baptist," he said. "He is risen from the dead." And he expressed a desire to see Jesus. Herod was in constant fear lest a revolution unseat him and break the Roman yoke from the Jewish nation. Among the people the spirit of insurrection was rife. It was evident that Christ's public labors in Galilee could not long continue, and he longed to be apart for a season from the confusion of the multitude. With saddened hearts the disciples of John had borne his mutilated body to its burial. Then they went and told Jesus. These disciples had been envious of Christ and had doubted his divine mission because he did not set the Baptist at liberty. But now they longed for consolation in their great sorrow and for guidance as to their future work. They came to Jesus and united their interests with his. At the northern end of the lake was a lonely region, beautiful with the fresh green of spring. For this place they set out in their boat. The scenes of nature were in themselves a rest, grateful to the senses. Here they could listen to Christ without the angry interruptions, retorts, and accusations of the scribes and Pharisees. Rest refreshed them. The time Christ and his disciples spent in retirement was not devoted to pleasure-seeking. They talked together regarding the work of God and the possibility of greater efficiency. Christ corrected their errors and made plain to them the right way of approaching the people. They were vitalized by divine power, and inspired with hope and courage. When Jesus said that the harvest was great and the laborers few, he did not urge ceaseless toil, but said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God would not have a few weighted with responsibilities while others have no burden, no travail of soul. Christ's words of compassion are spoken to his workers today, "Come ye yourselves apart, and rest a while." It is not wise to be always under the strain of ministering to men's spiritual needs, for in this way personal piety is neglected and soul and body are overtaxed. Self-denial is required, but care must be exercised lest Satan take advantage of human weakness, and the work of God be marred. As activity increases and men become successful in doing any work for God, there is a tendency to pray less and to have less faith. We lose sight of our dependence on God and seek to make a savior of activity. It is Christ's power which does the work. We must take time for meditation, prayer, and study of the Word. Only the work accomplished with much prayer, and sanctified by the merit of Christ, will in the end prove efficient for good. Never too busy to talk with God, no other life was so crowded with labor as was that of Jesus. Yet how often he was found in prayer. Again and again are found records such as these: rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness, and prayed. And it came to pass in those days, that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. The Savior found it necessary to turn aside from a life of ceaseless activity and contact with human needs to seek unbroken communion with his Father. As one with us, he was wholly dependent on God. In the secret place of prayer he sought divine strength that he might go forth braced for duty and trial. Jesus endured struggles and torture of soul. In communion with God he could unburden the sorrows that were crushing him. As a man, he supplicated the throne of God till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that should connect humanity with divinity. He received life from God that he might impart life to the world. His experience is to be ours. If today we would take time to go to Jesus and tell him our needs, we should not be disappointed. He is the wonderful counselor. We are invited to ask wisdom of him. He giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Everyone needs a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. We must individually hear him speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed and in quietness we wait before him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. Here alone can true rest be found. The soul thus refreshed will reveal a divine power that will reach men's hearts.